All right. It is 6 o'clock, so I will call this evening's Planning Commission meeting to order. Can I have a roll call, please?
Chair Maravilla?
Here.
Vice Chair Berlin?
Here.
Commissioner Buchanan?
Here.
Commissioner Roof?
Here.
Commissioner Sackerson?
Here. Thank you. Commissioner Berlin, can you lead us in a flag salute? Thank you for that. Agenda review. Does anyone want to revise the order? No. Okay. Community comments and suggestions. This public comment period is an invitation to members of our community to present issues, thoughts, or suggestions on matters that are not scheduled on this agenda. The comments should also be limited to the matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. If you would like to provide public comment, now's the time. And if you are on Zoom, please use the raised hand feature to provide comment. Is there anyone liking to provide comment this evening? No one in the room? Okay. Is there anyone online?
If any member of the public on Zoom would like to speak, please raise your hand. Madam Chair, there are no raised hands.
Thank you. All right, I will close the public comment period and move on to item six, which is written communications. I didn't see anything. Was there anything that came through? No.
No, there are none for tonight.
Thank you. Okay, so item seven, the consent agenda, which includes item 7A, approval of our minutes of our last meeting, as well as 7B, which was consideration of resolution denying with prejudice conditional use permit 23-006. Is there any questions from my fellow commissioners?
I just need to recuse myself because I wasn't at the meeting.
Sure.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? No. Okay. Is there any public comments on this item? On item 7 of the consent agenda, which is 7A or 7B. If you'd like to come up, please.
Okay, thank you. I didn't know that we could comment. But I just wanted to encourage you to deny the permit, which you have on the agenda and which is the recommendation. So I would like to encourage you to go ahead and deny that. And I appreciate your consideration and the hard work you put into this. And whether or not...
It's okay. That wasn't 3 minutes.
Whether or not you felt this was maybe a difficult decision, so I applaud you for moving in this direction, and I want to encourage you to go ahead and deny the permit.
Can you give us your name, please?
Paula Mason. I'm a resident at Sunrise Terrace.
Thank you.
I'm at the gate, so I
thank you.
Feel strongly. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on the consent agenda this evening? None in the room. Is there anyone online?
If any member of the public on Zoom would like to speak, please raise your hand. Madam Chair, there are no raised hands.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions from commissioners? Okay. Can I have a motion, please?
I did want to say I have to abstain from the vote.
Okay, so we have two abstentions at this point. So I think we're still good, though. So can I have a motion, please?
I'll move to approve the consent agenda, item 7A through 7B.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. Can I have a vote, please?
Commissioner Buchanan?
Yes.
Commissioner Sackerson?
Yes.
Commissioner Roof?
I'm abstaining. Thank you.
Chair Maravilla?
Yes.
Vice Chair Berlin?
I also recuse myself.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Thank you. We'll move on to number 8, which is public hearing items, which we don't have any this evening. But so number 9 is non-public hearing items, which is a general plan progress report.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And members of the Planning Commission, Andrew Perez, the City Planning Manager. And I will begin my presentation to present the 2023 General Plan Annual Progress Report. So California Government Code 65400 requires every agency in the state to prepare and file a General Plan Annual Progress Report and submit that to the State Office of Planning and Research by April 1st of each year. Additionally, the city must update the Department of Housing and Community Development on the status of its housing element and any efforts to implement housing policies and programs contained in that element. The government code requires that City Council must review the report prior to its submittal to the state. However, here locally, we've made it a practice to bring that report to the Planning Commission because you all are the main hearing body for land use entitlements in the city. So here locally, we have 8 elements in our general plan, those being land use, circulation, housing, agriculture, conservation, and open space, noise, safety, economic development, and parks and recreation. So there are 3 real benefits to preparing and submitting the report. First, on the statewide level, it informs the state of land use and development trends statewide. At the local level, it helps inform our local decision makers regarding issue areas and resource allocation, and can help justify decisions regarding both of those areas. And finally, it also informs the public of the city's progress towards meeting the community goals, which are established in those general plan elements. With regards to what the annual report contains, it's not intended to be a comprehensive list of all the work undertaken by the city, but really it's meant to be a kind of a high-level view of significant work efforts and the city's progress in meeting some of our housing goals that are established in the adopted housing element. So the report is broken up into 2 sections. Section 1 addresses legal requirements established by the state government code, the status of each of our adopted elements, progress towards the regional housing needs allocation, and any updates that are being done to the general plan in general. And Section 2 provides a summary of the development activity for the calendar year 2023 and efforts to implement general plan policies and programs. So the primary focus of Section 1 of the report is looks at the comprehensive general plan update progress, beginning in March, in which the city entered an agreement with Mentor Harnish to be the city's consultant to assist staff with this project. Between March and August, there's a significant amount of work done by the consultant and staff in gathering existing conditions data, and that was presented during study sessions with City Council and the Planning Commission in August and September. During those study sessions, we also established the scope of the project, process, and timelines. Then in October, there was a first of many community workshops we intend to hold with the purpose of identifying assets, issues, and opportunities that currently exist in our community. The feedback that we obtained at that workshop informed the community engagement summary report, which was released in January, and also the existing conditions and trends workbook, which is expected to be released this week ahead of the visioning workshop we have scheduled for next Wednesday. Looking a bit closer at Section 1 in our housing data, there are tables in this section that compare the number of housing units that were entitled, permitted, and finished in 2022 and 2023, and another table that shows the city's progress towards meeting our regional housing needs allocation during this housing element cycle. So this table is taken from the report. Kind of just a quick comparison of the number of units entitled to those that were approved through a discretionary process, number of units permitted, and these are the number of units that were issued building permits to begin construction. And then in the final two columns, the number of building permits that were final or certificates of occupancy that were granted for new units in the city. This table also from the report and shows the progress towards meeting our RENA goals in each of the income categories. And so here progress is measured by the number of units that were issued a building permit. Moving on to section two, this focuses on general plan implementation efforts. So there's a section that highlights the planning division's work, including the adoption of the Halcyon Complete Streets Plan, which furthers objectives and goals and policies from the circulation element, ordinance updates, including those pertaining to emergency shelters, irrigated turf restrictions, and ADU updates. It also highlights the implementation of the pre-designed ADU plan program and continued involvement in the Regional Housing Action Team Working Group. It also touches on the number of permit applications, plan reviews, and permits issued by the Building Division, as well as the number of stormwater permits, grading and encroachment permits and inspections performed by the Engineering Division. So in conclusion, staff recommends that the Planning Commission receive and file the 2023 General Plan Annual Report for final acceptance by City Council. I'm happy to answer any questions, should there be any.
Thank you. Commissioner Berlin, would you like to start with this question?
Yes. Thank you, Andrew. Really impressive staff report as well as the progress report. Appreciate that. The questions I do have, of course, a couple of them. Sorry, good thing I got my notes back. One of the things I see listed in the year page six, the housing element was recently updated, so that's why we're not having the consultant deal with the housing element. When was that done and why? I think somewhere I see it, 2021, it was adopted. The next page it says, so my question is, so basically my question is this, we're having the consultant update the general plan, but we're not having them do the housing element because we recently did that. Can you, again, when and why?
So the housing element is the only element that's required to be updated on regular cycles, and that's established by the Department of Housing and Community Development. So we're on what's called our sixth cycle. It's a 9-year cycle, so it ends in 2028, at which time we'll be required to update it again. But as we go through the comprehensive update, government code requires that all the elements are consistent with one another. So if we come across a situation where we need to update the housing element to be consistent with the other elements in the plan, we'll undergo that task.
That's helpful for me and maybe the public too, I hope. So because we're doing these annual reports, which basically tracks the housing units that we're putting forth, it kind of takes care of itself as far as keeping up with reporting how we're doing. It goes to the state and so on. So you're saying if there's some inconsistencies, they'll probably show up in the process if we're having some conflicts. That's right. I mean, ideally. Yeah.
As we begin to update other elements.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. And then, so I see your tables of amendments on the bottom of page five, and they're they're listed as GPA, general plan amendments, and they go from 2003 through 2017. Have we not had any GPA since 2017?
That's correct. We have not.
Okay. I just was curious. And then turn into the next page on your page 26 of 30. You touch on the community engagement summary report, which I don't know if the general public looked at it. I dove into that a little bit today, 145 pages. There's a lot of information that came from the one workshop, and I know there's ongoing opportunities online with the general plan update for people to communicate. So I was really impressed with the amount of information they captured with one meeting. So not a question, I guess, but that was issued in January. from the fall meeting. And there's another one coming up, which I think you gave a plug for, coming up
next Wednesday. 28th?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Which is Wednesday night here at 6 o'clock. So if you can't do it in person, do it online. And there's opportunities to do that, I think. So just put a plug on that. Okay, so the question I had, sorry for my long way, I've been away. Land use element, circulation element, and housing element. And those all have, in their notation, adopted October 2001 in the case of land use. And then circulation element and housing elements were adopted in just 2021. So again, back to my earlier question, those are not put in table format going to the state as far as when we last updated them?
So only the housing element is required to be submitted to the state for certification.
Okay.
And that's to HCD.
Okay. And then that's kind of we'll talk later about comments. Okay, here's one. Your page 9, page 28 of 30, the building division, you're giving a nice little summary of what the building division's been up to. 787 building permit applications last year and issued 632 building permits. What happened to that 20% that never made it to actual permits? You got any summation of that? I'm just curious.
Generally, there's ongoing reviews. So it could be, the applicant decided to press pause on the project, or they're addressing comments, or there could be in their second and third reviews. There's some various stages of the review process.
So that 20% is either people withdrew or it's in process still. It's just they didn't take it to completion for one reason or another.
Exactly. So the 787 is the number of applications that were made during 2023. And of those, 632 were issued in 2023, and most likely some will be issued in 2024 and beyond.
Yeah, just curious, and that's why that table is nice on the housing units. Is that a high number, low number in comparison from year to year? Do you know what did we do in 2022? Have any clue?
Yes, I believe that was about a 80 to 90 increase in the number of building permit applications we received.
Okay. So trending in the right direction as far as more. Okay. And then on the last page on your housing summary, which is really what goes to the state and they process the numbers, on the second box down, units by structure type, you have a category called 2 to 4 units per structure. And we did 10 of those entitled, 4 of them got permitted, and none of them got completed. What are those? I don't know what those are. Would those be multi-unit family housing units or...
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So it could be apartments or condos.
Yeah, it could be. They wouldn't be townhomes or condos because those would fall under the single family attached because they could be separately conveyed.
Right.
They'd be multifamily rental housing.
Okay. And then I guess the same maybe question, I don't know if you would know, it's kind of suppositional. Do you know why of the 10 that were entitled, none of them got completed, 4 got permitted? You know what happened along the way?
So most likely they're in their process of submitting construction documents or in plan review currently.
Okay. And then, let's see. Oh, yeah. Okay, the last question I have for you is on the infill housing developments and infill units permitted. There's the second category. They're not indicated as infill. There's 3, and I don't know what are those. They're talking about infill, but these are 3 units that somehow are in infill, but they're not indicated as infill. What are those? Do you know?
Yeah, the header of that column is a bit misleading. When we're preparing the worksheet for HTD, it gives you an option to check whether it's infill unit or not an infill unit. And this really all that is breaking it down.
Okay.
And so I believe those units that are not infill are homes up at the Heights of Vista Del Mar subdivision.
Okay.
Which don't meet the definition of infill.
Perfect. Okay, that's all I got. Thank you, Mr. Perez. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Commissioner Buchanan, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I just have one question. So the arena progress is highlighted here. Remain, heavily off pace to meet that goal. Last report, we talked about implications of not meeting that goal. Looks like we are on HCD's list of jurisdictions who have insufficient progress toward RENA and are subject to SB 35 streamlining for projects with at least 10% affordability. Is staff aware of that streamlining process and any projects it might affect? I don't think we've seen anything come to us this year that it would have affected. Are you aware of anything in the pipeline that might apply to, or have you had any conversations with anyone around the SB 35 streamlining?
So I guess start at the beginning. Yeah, staff is aware that we're subject to these the streamlined review process for projects that qualify under SB 35. As part of that process, it's a ministerial review, so that those projects would not come before the Planning Commission. And during staff's conversations with potential applicants, we always mention kind of different tools and methods we have to get more affordable units. So that could be density bonuses, both state and local, use of the state's or the city's Affordable Housing Trust Fund to help cover costs with development. And then, of course, SB 35, when projects are proposing more than 10% affordable units. So I believe based on SB 35, a project proposing an application under SB 35 proposing less than 150 units would need to be approved within 90 days. So that's something that's mentioned to applicants as well, try to incentivize and see some creation of those lower, more affordable units.
Great. So we don't need to go into details, but feels like there might have been some semi-serious discussions with applicants around using SB 35 streamlining for potential projects, or how far have those discussions gone?
It's typically in the preliminary stages, and then it's kind of up to the developer to see if project pencils out based on some of the incentives and concessions that they can receive through state density bonuses or the streamlined review under SB 35.
Got it. Okay. Thanks. I don't have any other questions.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Sackerson?
The numbers are what they are. If you don't get applications for certain projects, it doesn't matter. We can't approve and create things that aren't there. But it is a little frustrating to see our RENA numbers not being anywhere near in sight of being reached. I do see that as applicants tend to bring their projects forth. I know the city offers either they can do a certain percentage as affordable housing, or they can also opt for, I believe, the in-lieu fees. Mm-hmm. My question is, for the in-lieu fee options that are being selected typically mostly by our applicants, what is that looking like for our city? Like, what does that fund look like? It's like the city's able to do with it. Like, can you explain that to me?
Yes, our most recent use of the Affordable Housing Trust Fund was to assist Haslow, who's proposing the project at the corner of El Camino Real and Oak Park, to cover some of their development impact fee costs. So it could be looking at that aspect of a project and covering costs and permitting, or it could be land acquisition costs. It could be a number of things that those funds can be used for to help incentivize and gain affordable housing units.
And then without going into too much detail, I don't need a specific number, but is that trust fund fairly healthy at this point? Because it seems to be the go-to option.
It is, yeah. So I think after the allocation to Haslow, it has approximately $600,000 in it.
Okay.
So thank definitely you. Opportunity there.
Yeah, that's. I just want to know what we're working with. Thank you so much. That's all I have for now.
Thank you. Commissioner Roof?
Yeah, thank you. I was looking at the RENA table, and I was just kind of looking at how we're doing in terms of category. And, of course, we're doing the best and above moderate. But I was wondering, is there a reason the moderate is only at kind of 12% of what our goal is? Like, is there some gap that you guys know that you can help us understand why we're doing better with like with low than we are with moderate? I was just curious.
It's hard to pinpoint it, but I think one factor is the density bonus concessions and incentives you can get at low income versus moderate income. And so that might be driving those numbers.
Okay, thanks. And it's sort of the takeaway from this is just we need more housing overall. I mean, obviously, we're not doing any very low housing at this point, which is frustrating, as Commissioner Sackerson said, but just any housing is what we need, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. And then I did have a question just on, I've been really talking up the Halcyon Complete Streets plan because I'm so excited about it. And I'm just wondering if you have a timeline for us on kind of where we are in the process or when we can start to see some movement on that.
Yes, yeah, so it's Halcyon Complete Streets is definitely in the planning stage with our engineering division. One thing that that our department has looked at with engineering is the timing of that project with Trafficway Bridge in particular. I think the initial hope was that we could do both in 2025, but with the Trafficway Bridge being they're both important. The Trafficway Bridge is a very critical replacement that needs to be done in 2025. Most likely, we are looking at 2026 for Halcyon Complete Streets for construction, just based on the location of those two projects with regards to the high school and traffic flow. We actually did a few exercises to try and determine what the impact would be, and it was pretty rough. So those are going to be spaced out. So we would be doing right-of-way acquisition design for Halcyon Complete Streets over the next year and a half, and get it set up for 2026.
Thanks. And then since I was thinking about timelines and the parklets are listed here, I was just wondering if you have an update for us on the repaving. Maybe I missed that in one of the updates, but where are we at with the street resurfacing?
So the resurfacing is largely weather dependent. So it looks like it'll be in the spring when there's less chance for precipitation and warmer temperatures to make sure we get the highest quality result.
Awesome. Thank you. Totally makes sense. I'm like, duh. And you see, I think I had one more. Hold on a sec. Oh, no, I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you. I guess my only question is, what is happening with the Haslow project? Is that just not, or where are we at?
So they are in the process of trying to obtain more funding to finance the project. They've submitted plan review. We've looked at least the first set of construction documents, and I think they expect to hear back early part of this year. So hopefully they can get some financing and funding and really move forward with that.
Yeah, because that's not reflected in here anywhere, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so that, I can't remember the number of units, but will help a little bit if that actually does move forward.
63 low income. So.
Okay. And is there any other projects that are on the horizon that you guys are aware of? You don't have to go into specifics, but just thinking ahead. I mean, we're about halfway done with this RENA cycle, so.
There's been some discussions, but no formal applications at this point for any large-scale development projects.
It's kind of a bummer. I was hoping for something different, but what we can do what we can do. So thank you. Go ahead.
Andrew, thank you, Chair. Question about ADUs and how they count in the RINA allocations. So I see on the summary page we did 14 completed accessory dwelling units. That's what ADU is. And there were 15 permitted this last year, which is significantly more than what we did the year before, I'm sure. But my question is, where do those count in the very low, moderate income category?
So those are split evenly between the low and moderate income categories.
Okay.
Yeah, there is a countywide survey and study that was done, I think in 2020, basically indicated that that's the appropriate distribution of those units in terms of income categories. So that's what we've done the past few years.
Okay, so we had 14 ADUs. We had 17 overall low and moderate. So 14 out of 17 were ADUs in the low and moderate category. So, okay. That triggered another question, but I forgot it. Senior moment. That's all I got.
It triggered a question for me too, though. Have we been seeing any rise in ADUs knowing within this year at all, or?
There's definitely been a bump.
Okay.
In number of applications submitted.
In 2024 or at the end of 2023?
I'd say throughout 2023 over the previous years.
Okay. I'm wondering if there's anything else that we could be doing to incentivize the ADU, you know?
Yeah, I would say as part of the ADU ordinance update that we're taking to council in March, Bruce suggested, I think some other commissioners did also, but creating some more user-friendly flowchart type of handout that we can publicize, and hopefully that simplifies the process, and then still publicizing the pre-designed ADU plan program.
Yeah. It seems like, I mean, you walk around town, and you look around town, and you're going, they so have an ADU in their backyard. They're not even using it. They're not even mowing it all the time. But, you know, like, there's like the low-hanging fruit, you know, that could be really great opportunities for those, you know, plans. And maybe they just don't know about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I will say that a lot of our, many of our housing element programs and, things that they've identified in there that could help are wrapped up in the development code update that's to follow the general plan update. It's not, it's not going to be a quick fix, but those types of things, we're going to be looking hard at, you know, the general plan update and our development code update on how to spur the type of development we need in the city.
And we are looking forward to that. is there any other questions? All right. Is there any public comment on this item? None in the room. Is there anyone online?
If any member of the public on Zoom would like to make a comment, please raise your hand. Madam Chair, there are no raised hands.
Thank you. Anyone else have any comments or anything like that?
Do we need to do a formal
thing? Yeah, that was my question for you. I know this is just a progress report. Do we need to make a motion to submit it to City Council, or what would you like?
No, it's just a receive and file. So,
okay, yeah, so received and filed.
That's good.
Thank you. Moving on, we have no administrative items since our last meeting. Commission communications, is there anyone that has anything? Nope. Yeah, please.
I just wanted to make a statement. I've been thinking a lot about what happened in the last meeting, watching in the back room. And I just want to say that given the nature of the public comments that we received regarding the tower at the last meeting, really like all of us, staff and us as commissioners, to really take a moment and reflect on the nature of what we're doing here and how it affects the citizens of our town. I know everyone here cares deeply about Arroyo Grande. We wouldn't be here doing what we're doing. And I really applaud the citizens who came to our last meeting and made their voices heard. But it just strikes me that when we have a packed room full of senior citizens who are worried about their future and feel like second-class citizens in our town, something went wrong. And I really want to live in a community that puts the needs of people before corporations and make sure that everybody's valued, no matter their socioeconomic status, that they feel welcome and included. And I don't think that happened here in this process. And I'd really like all of us, myself included, to think, like, what steps can we take to do better as a city? So I just wanted to make that statement. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Commissioner. Staff communications.
No staff communications tonight.
Thank you. All right, with that, we have nothing else on our agenda, so I will adjourn the meeting at 6:34 p.m. Thank you.